We got to hear from the Word of God today. Thank you so much for your offering. Wasn't that precious to see those children marching in? They've been collecting towards the building program for, I don't know how many months it has been, about 3 months. And they've been putting their pennies and nickels and so on. And isn't that precious? But that shows something. That shows that, you know, God is touching the hearts even of our children to be a part of this great miracle. So to God be the glory. Lord, we give you the remainder of this service, and we ask for your strength. We know, Lord, that you have a word, O God, for this church, Lord, and that your word, O Father, is full of life. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you're speaking to our hearts. And I pray, God, that you just anoint me and help me, Lord, with this message. I humbly ask you for your anointing, Lord, and for your strength and focus, Lord, and a discernment as I speak the word of God, Lord, that it would be a blessing to the hearers and it would be transformational to us, Lord, and to this church. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory for the good things you're doing and you will do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. For the next 2 weeks, I want to speak to you, and I felt like the Lord really put this on my heart for the new year. I've been spending some time in prayer concerning the new year. I'm sure all of you have. And here's what God's just speaking to my heart. He's putting this vision in my mind for 2018 to be a year of great progress. Amen. A year of great progress on many different levels. On many levels. So I want to talk to you about how we can make progress more than ever, how we can grow deeper, how we can grow wider, how we can grow stronger and go further than we've ever been before. In the new year, typically people think about, you know, resolutions. How am I going to finish this or pay off my bills? I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to take a new course. I'm going to try a different hairstyle. You know, there's all kinds of ideas people have for the new year. But I think spiritually, God has some ideas for the new year. And I believe that God has been saying to me personally, my wife, that he wants 2018 for us individually and collectively to be a year of great progress. A year of great progress in the things of God. And whatever else you do, that's a bonus. If you want to take a college course or lose weight, change your hairstyle, whatever, that's okay too. But more importantly, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these other things shall be added unto you as well. So if I get in alignment with heaven, I'm going to prosper in all areas of my life. If I'm right with God spiritually, then the material things will follow. I want us to look at two simple but powerful keys to making more progress than you've ever made in your life before. You may have read about these so many times in the Bible. You may have even tried it in different ways. But the combination of two words, faith and love. The power of faith and love combined is an invincible dynamic from heaven that cannot be stopped. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Now remains these three things, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. So in the Bible, there's a teaching, and there's so much emphasis on faith being an invincible power, because the Bible says, without faith we cannot please God. He that comes to him must believe that he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. And then it also talks about love as being the greatest virtue. It talks about love. Many waters cannot quench the power of love. You know, love never fails. And Jesus came to show the Father's love and so on. So I want to kind of focus the church and focus us on those two things. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, and just introduce this subject. 1 Thessalonians 5:8 in the NLT version. But let us who live in the light be clear-minded, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. You say it again. Those of us who are living in the light, those of us who are believers, let us be clear-minded, protected by the armor. One translation says the breastplate. the breastplate of faith and love. Notice the two words are coupled together. Isn't that interesting? Then in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, Paul is addressing the issue of legalism in the church, and in particular in this case, about the people who are saying that in order for people to be saved, they had to keep the law of Moses. And there was this element in the church that was saying we have to go back to the customs of the old days. We have to be circumcised. If you want to be a true believer, you have to be circumcised. You've got to follow the Jewish customs. Paul was saying, no, we have freedom in Christ. It's by grace we are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, the book of Galatians. Then he says this, in summary, 5:6, Galatians 5:6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. In other words, he's saying, it's not in religious observances that we make progress. Follow me. The only thing that counts in growing in Christ is faith expressing itself through love. There's the two words again. So he's saying, religious observances, externals, you know, whether you wear the Jewish-style clothing or you want to try to keep the Sabbath a certain way or eat certain kosher foods, that's not what changes your heart. That's not what's going to give you progress. No external observance of religious practices necessarily makes you stronger or deeper in God. It's a condition of your heart. Somebody say amen. So what he's saying is that through Christ we have a faith, and through Christ we have a love, because it's not by works that we have been saved, but by grace through faith, and then it's the love that manifests the faith that we have. If you have faith in Christ, you're going to become a more loving person. You could say you have faith in Christ, you could say you're of a certain faith or religion or denomination, but if there's no evidence of love in your life, you don't have the real faith. The faith of Jesus Christ, the faith of a real Christian, has to evidence itself in loving action. Somebody say amen. So faith is our confident assurance in Christ, His Word, His mission to save us. And love is the sacrifice through Christ, because of our love and because of His love for us, our sacrifice for the good of others. Love is patient, love is kind, love is enduring, love is forgiving. So we see these two words used together in the Bible. Here's a couple of other examples. Just a few, but many times in the Bible, you see faith and love are combined. Colossians 1:4, Paul says, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. So he's greeting the Colossian church and commending them for their progress in faith and love. They made progress in these two areas. Alright? Ephesians 3:17. So that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, and that you will become rooted and established in love. Interesting. Again, you see the coupling of these two qualities. 1 Thessalonians 3:6. Timothy has just now come to us from you, that is from the Thessalonian church, and reported to Paul, and he has brought this good news about your faith and love. Again, the two words, faith and love. And then this one we all know, 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. If I have the gift, verse 2, if I have the gift of prophecy, can fathom all mysteries, have all knowledge, and then watch the last part, if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. So again, going back to our text in Galatians 5:6, the only thing that counts is faith resulting in love. Your faith must express itself in love. Somebody say amen. Genuine Christian faith will always affect our behavior, our attitudes, our words, our actions. If we truly have faith in Christ, we will want to love God and love our neighbor. When Jesus was challenged, what are the two greatest commandments? What did he say? Love God the Father with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor. Number two, love your neighbor as yourself. These are the two great commandments. In other words, as your faith grows, your love grows. To put it another way, if you're becoming a mature Christian, You place your faith in Christ more and more. Last year you trusted Him with this much of your life. Now you're trusting Him with this much of your life. You know, when you first came to Christ, He gave Him all the front rooms in your house. Now, after 10 years of serving Him, He's in all the rooms. And now after 20 years, He's even in the closets. Now He's the Lord of every area. Well, you mean He's the Lord of my business? He's the Lord of my work? He's the Lord at school? He's the Lord of how I act on the bus? Come on now. How I act on the shopping line when people cut in front of me. That means your faith is growing. Hallelujah. So the more you trust Him, the more you love Him. The more you love Him, the more you want to trust Him. It's a beautiful combination. If you're becoming a mature Christian, you'll be able to relate to what John said in 1 John. How can you say you love God whom you can't see and not love your neighbor whom you can see? And you'll also be able to relate to what James said in James chapter 1. James says, show me your faith without your deeds, and I will show you my faith with my deeds. Well, this is an inviolable coupling. Faith and love are definitions and also a track on which a mature Christian grows. Faith and love. If you're going to grow stronger this year in 2018, it's going to have something to do with your faith increasing. And it's also going to have something to do with you acting more loving. I'll say that again. If you want to grow more mature in 2000, how many of you want to grow? How many? Wow, everything's going up. We all want to keep growing, right? It's going to have something to do with our faith increasing and our love, our practical love, expressions of that. And so here's what I'm saying to the church. I'm declaring by faith that 2018 will be a year of great progress for all of us. Amen. A year where steadfast faith and deeper love move us further into the purposes of God. Hallelujah. I want to say it again. Let this sink down into your heart. I'm praying that 2018 will be a year of great progress. A year with steadfast faith and deeper love move us further in the purposes of God. And as I mentioned before, not just in the things that we ordinarily think of. You know, like I said, well, I'm going to try to read the Bible more. Yes, that's part of it. Try to be in church more. Amen. Try to come to the prayer meeting more. Yes. But all of those things can be done externally without affecting the heart. So what God is looking for this year, my brother, my sister, He's looking for a deeper expression of faith. Where are you stepping out? Where are you stepping out in faith where you have not stepped out before? And where are you loving where your love has fallen short before? Where are you loving more, deeper? Like I said a few weeks ago, I said, if you're loving, love more. This is a measure of progress. If you love just those who like you, that's not that big of a deal. But if you love those who are nasty to you, that's a big deal. If you love your enemies, you're even acting like Jesus. God wants us to grow in faith and in love. Hallelujah. A year to go deeper and further in our spiritual journey. Paul says to the believers in Thessalonica, 2 Thessalonians 1:11, watch this, that God would give you the power, and I'm just putting this in 2018, that's my own insert there, all right, that God would give you the power in 2018 to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. So the question arises, what is your faith prompting you to do this year? 2 Thessalonians 1:11. Paul says to the church, he's praying for them, that God would give you the power, and I put this in 2018, to accomplish all the good things that your faith is prompting you to do. Isn't that a good prayer? Yes. Hallelujah, that we'll reach further, that we will see more results, that we see strongholds come down, that we see loved ones saved, that we will see the work that we do for Christ expand, that the sphere of our influence as a church will grow in this community. Those are all good things. Hallelujah. We've been praying about the possibility of starting small groups in the church or life groups in the church in different parts of our community this year. Pray with us for wisdom that our light will shine, not just here at 14500, but at your house. Hallelujah. And around your house there'll be a circle of love. Hallelujah. Around your house there'll be a circle of anointing. And the faith that we have in Christ will draw people, neighbors and friends into your home. How many of you believe that's biblical? In the book of Acts it says that they met in the temple courts and house to house. They met in the temple courts for fellowship and they also met house to house. That's biblical. Amen. So we'll talk about that a little later, but keep that in prayer. So all the things that God's faith is prompting in, as far as love is concerned, John, the beloved apostle of Christ, says in 1 John 3:16, how do we measure love? 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought also to lay down our lives for the brothers. So the way to measure the progress that we make in love is to ask ourselves, am I more sacrificial? When my spouse, you know, gets in a bad mood, they're cranky and they don't speak to me with the sweetness and kindness that they should. I used to bite their head off, but now I bite their head off less. When my kids would forget to pick up their clothes and clean their room, I used to get really irritated. Now I keep loving them, I get a little less irritated. But they still got to clean up their room. So here's what John is saying. You can measure love by saying, comparing to Christ's love. How do we know what love is? How do we know? How do we know what Christ's love is? He laid down his life for us. We also ought to lay down our lives. That's hard. That's hard. It's hard to really sacrifice for others, especially those who are difficult. So I want us to start with the issue of faith. And next week we'll talk more about the issue of love. I want to just leave you with this today. I want to give you several spiritual exercises to know if your faith is growing and to help you to grow your faith. Okay? And I don't even know that exercise is important. All right? I didn't get these big muscles just by doing nothing. All right? Don't be intimidated, all you guys, you know. You can look like this too someday. I look like the before picture, the before and after, you know. But anyway, spiritual exercise. How many of you know it's good to exercise yourself spiritually? Faith. How do we exercise our faith? Number one, check your thinking. So all starts up here. Now, a certain amount of worry and doubt or fear in life, it's understandable. None of us, I don't care who you are. Even the great Elijah got scared and he ran from Jezebel, didn't he? Didn't Elijah get scared? So don't think you're not a good Christian if you occasionally doubt and if you occasionally fear and you occasionally worry. Hey, we're all human, right? These things are common to man. But here's the question you got to ask yourself. What is the dominant pattern of thinking that you allow in your mind? Wow. What is the dominant pattern of thinking that you allow? Is it a pattern of doubt? Is it a pattern of complaining? Is it a pattern of fear? Is it a pattern of negativity? Or is it faith, hope, and love? Hallelujah. It should be faith in God's character. This is our thinking. Should have thoughts of God's character, hope in his goodness, confidence that he's working a greater purpose. This should be the dominant pattern of thinking in our minds. And God's still working on me, so don't anybody get discouraged. I'm preaching to myself as well. I want the dominant pattern of thinking in my mind to be that God is a good God, that my hope is in his goodness. My confidence is that he's working a greater purpose, even through my difficulties. When you bring your mind into alignment with God, you're ready to be blessed. Turn to your neighbor and say, when you bring your mind into alignment with God, you're ready to be blessed. Hallelujah. In other words, here's what we've got to do. Exercise our thought life. This isn't how I'm feeling right now, but God says such and such. You know, this is a rough day, but God is still on the throne. You know, the devil has just gone crazy today and is trying to attack me, but greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. My hope is built in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Hallelujah. Whatever you got to say, exercise your thought life. The Bible says, as a man thinks, so is he. Your thinking will ultimately be the rudder for your life. It's going to be a guide. Your thinking is going to be the compass and the guide for your life. How about the Roman centurion? This is kind of interesting because this man was not even Jewish. And he came to Jesus and said, my servant is at home ill. And Jesus said, okay, I'll come and pray for him. And the centurion says, that's not necessary. I can see that you're a man with authority. That you have authority. So just speak the word and my servant shall be healed. Hallelujah. Whew. And Jesus said, I am amazed. I have not found this kind of faith even in Israel. This man had his thinking right. He was thinking right. He understood that Jesus had the authority to just speak the word, just like he as a centurion said, hey, you go. Hey, you go get me a cup of coffee. All right? He understood authority, and he saw that in Christ. How about the woman who was sick for 12 years and pressed through the crowd? And she was unclean according to Jewish standards. She was not even supposed to be around people. Because she had been hemorrhaging, she was considered unclean. She pressed through the crowd, and I love this, and says, she thought to herself. She thought to herself. She said to herself, if I can just touch him, I know I will be made whole. I know that if I can just get close enough to Jesus. She had right thinking. Her thinking was correct. One of the best ways to exercise your thinking to build your faith is the Word of God. The Word. Hallelujah. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. Saturate your mind with God's words. Saturate yourself in the Scriptures. They've been doing some surveys, and it's so sad. A recent survey came out about biblical ignorance in our country and how little people are reading the Bible. I think it was down to like 20% of people in the U.S. read the Bible on a regular basis. No wonder we're in so much trouble. How many of you know we need the Word of God in our mind? So soak in the Scriptures. Memorize them. Read them. Say them out loud. Hallelujah. So number one is check your thinking. Number two, your speaking. Check your words. Check your speaking. Exercising faith with your words is so important. There's faith talk and then there's fear talk. There's faith talk and then there's discouragement talk. There's faith talk and there's anxiety talk. The disciples were Jesus in the storm. And the storm arose. Jesus was sleeping in the boat. And they saw this man just provide food for how many? 5,000 people? Right? He had just done this mighty miracle. And so now they're trying to wake him up. Lord, we're dying. We're drowning. Don't you care that we're perishing? And Jesus woke up and said, guys, you know, why are you bothering me? Where's your faith? And he gets up and goes, shh, peace. Be still and calms the storm. See, they were speaking with fear, but they forgot their confidence in the living God, Hallelujah, who created heaven and earth. I hope you don't lose your confidence in the Lord. I hope you're confident. Yes, we've been through some storms. How many of you have been through storms in 2017? Come on, be honest. I mean, we have. But speak faith. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, I'm claiming that Mercedes, you know, I'm claiming that for him, and I want to be a millionaire, you know, by next year. Some of that can get crazy. Somebody come on, say amen. That can be very self-centered. Your heart has to be in this. Your heart has to be right. David is a good example in the Bible. when the army of Israel was afraid because Goliath was harassing them, this Philistine giant. David reasoned with King Saul. You see, his speaking here is a beautiful example of speaking faith. He goes to King Saul and he says, "Don't be worried about this giant. I'm here." And his brother, he didn't sound here, but his brothers are thinking, "Who is this little half pint? Who's this little runt? Go back and take care of your sheep, you know?" And here's David's thinking. I love this. Thinking and speaking. "Your servant, myself, I have killed a lion and I have killed a bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who has," this is his confession right here, "the Lord," and this ought to be our confession, "the Lord who has delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will also deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Come on, give God a hand of praise. In other words, you say, God protected me in the past, and God did through me something which is not ordinary. You don't see a little teenager usually killing a lion and killing a bear with a slingshot. That's pretty extraordinary. You say, God's done some miracles for me in the past, and I'm sure he's going to do miracles for me in the future. So he confessed his faith. In the Psalms, David says, "Though an enemy besiege me, my heart will not fear." He spoke faith. "Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling." This is the word of God for somebody today. "He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon the rock. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Wow. What faith. This man spoke his faith, and he had it hard. And Jesus ultimately gave this teaching: "Have faith in God, for as surely I say to you," Mark 11:22-23, "whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Now again, the condition, of course, is in the will of God. This doesn't mean you can be foolish now and go out and say, "You know, I'm going to pray that all the traffic will stop and I'll be able to walk on water." You know, it's got to be for the glory of God. Amen? So make sure your prayers are in alignment with God's purpose. All right, number three, real quick. Exercise your faith by how you pray. Your prayer life. Pray regularly and often. Intimacy with God will strengthen your faith. I'll give you a beautiful example of this. Paul the Apostle was in a storm with all these Romans and others that were going to Rome. Remember, he took a ship to go to Rome. He was arrested. He was going to stand trial before Caesar. And on the way there, they encountered a great nor'easter, you know, just like they had up in the room. And that's what happened with Paul in that boat. And for 14 days, they were being battered by the storm. And everybody thought that this is it. They were ready to end their lives. I mean, this is it. All right, we're lost. We're hopeless. But Paul, after a period of abstinence, when he was alone with God, doesn't say where, probably at the bottom of the ship, he had an experience with God. And he stood before them and he says, "Fear not. You have had all of this thing happen to you. But last night, the God to whom I belong sent an angel to me. And he said, no one will be lost. Brothers and sisters, I believe God. It shall be as he said." One man stood up and said, "I've been with God. I've had some intimacy. And yes, you're facing a fearful situation, but I saw something else. I saw God's mercy. Heavens are open to those who are intimate with Christ. When you pray, you see things that nobody else sees. Hallelujah. When you pray, you see possibilities. When you pray, your doubts melt away. When you pray, you know that it's going to be all right. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's going to be all right. Prayer prayer is so important. Pray the Word of God. Pray the Scriptures. Pray them out loud. Pray in the Spirit. Paul says in Jude 1:20, that you, dear friends, carefully build yourself up in this most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. Pray in tongues. Pray in English. The Bible says that God has given us a prayer language to be able to speak mysteries to God and to edify ourselves, according to 1 Corinthians 14. Pray with your understanding, and also pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in tongues. Number four, let me give you these real quick. Number four, how is your vision? What do you see? What do your eyes focus on? Do you only focus with the natural eye, or do you see God's eyes, possibilities with eyes of faith? Amen? When Elijah was surrounded by all the enemies, and his servant, this was in the city of Dothan, and the enemies of God came to capture. Elisha's servant goes out and he sees all of these, I believe it was the Syrian army surrounding him. And then Elisha says, "Don't be afraid. Lord, open my servant's eyes. Let him see what's really there." Some of us need to have our eyes open to possibilities. You may have only seen up to this point all the mess of your past. You may be focused on all the failures of the past. You may be thinking about all the time people let you down. But I've got news for you. Nothing can limit the power of God. Hallelujah. Your past cannot limit the power of God. Your mess cannot limit His goodness. God wants to do better to you than you deserve. That's mercy. That's grace. The 12 spies who went out to view the promised land. What happened? 10 came back with an evil report. "We saw giants in the land. We saw fortified cities, big walls, thick. We felt like grasshoppers. The land that we saw swallows the inhabitants." I mean, their minds were going berserk. But then there was Joshua and Caleb who saw something different. They said, "This is a good land. Let us go up at once. If God is pleased with us, we will take the land. If God is pleased with us, these giants will fall. What He did in the past, He will do again." Hallelujah. Don't doubt the word of the Lord. For God promised in Numbers 14, He said, "As surely as I, the Lord, live, the whole earth will be full." No. The Philistine territory, the territory of the Amorites, is not an exception. Here's what they were thinking. "God, you can fill this portion of the earth, but you're not going to get into the Jebusite area. You're not going to get into Amorite area. You're not going to get into the Canaanite area." God says, "Step aside, son. Step aside, son." Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, "Step aside, son." "Surely as I live, the whole earth." The whole earth! There is no corner of the world that God can't get into. Somebody say amen. There's no corner of your life that God cannot possess. Don't you dare. Don't you dare see that with your mind. That this one thing is impossible to God. For with God, nothing is impossible. And the last one is our obedience. Your obedience, your steps of obedience will build your faith muscles. Great miracles are often the result of many small steps of faith. I was reading about Gideon, who was considered the least of his father's tribe. He didn't have a lot of confidence when the angel of the Lord appeared to him and he said, "Greetings, thou man of valor." He probably was like, "Who are you talking to? That's not me." But the angel said, "You're going to defeat the Midianites. As one man, you're going to be united." There's 300, of course, it started with 22,000, ended up with 300. But Gideon was not, I relate to Gideon because he took steps. The angel said to him, "First, I want you to tear down the altar of Baal." That's the first thing. His father's family had been worshiping false idols. He says, "I want you to build a proper altar to the Lord." That was another step of obedience. And then he goes on and gives him other steps. "I want you to call the troops together. I want you to," Gideon even tests the Lord's direction by putting out the fleece. You know, make the ground dry and the fleece wet and all of that. And then finally God says, now I want you to go down to the Midianite camp and listen to what they're saying. And the Midianites are saying, oh, I had a dream last night and I saw this thing rolling into the camp and all of our tents too. That must be Gideon. God's going to kill us. We're in trouble. They were terrified already. See, if you obey God in the little steps, He will give you more. Hallelujah. He'll build your confidence. He'll build the miracles in your life. Same thing with Naaman the leper. Just go and dip in the Jordan River. Elisha tells him. He says, you can even go out to meet him. He just sends his servant, tell me to go down to the Jordan River, dip seven times, and he will be delivered from his leprosy. At first he was angry. But then what did he do? He obeyed. Sometimes we're angry with God and we don't want to obey. It's like they said up in New York, your arm is too short to box with God. I tried to argue with God. Let me tell you, He is infinitely wise. He's infinitely powerful. But this is what attracts me to Him so much. He's infinitely good. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. For the Lord is good. Give Him a hand of praise. Amen. And His mercy endures forever.